Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We have an abridged version of the Rambam tonight, a little bit. We're in Hilchos Eidos, Halacha Yud, Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Hey, Chapter 17, Law 5, and everybody has their own texts today. Okay, we're talking about hearsay evidence not being accepted even under the most impeccable sources. So, hey, Talmud Sha'amar Lo Rabo, a student that his Rebbe says to him the following. Imagine, you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein is your Rebbe. And he says to you the following, Yodata, you know, you know, if they gave me all the money in the world, they'd never lie. So you know, I would never lie. Mm. And I want to tell you the following true thing. Money Yeshli Eitzel Ploni says $100 of mine by somebody else who owes me the money. V'yeshli Alav Eidechad. And I have one witness who can testify to that fact that he owes me the money. I'm just short a second witness. I'm that close. just go with him and be the second witness with him. So if this student, by the word of his Rebbe, will join that one witness, Hareza Eid Sheker, he's a false witness and has transgressed the negative commandment of Lo Sana Barecha Eid Shaker. But let's take it a step further. That's why you have to refuse. Vav, let's take it a step further. Amarlo, what if the Rosh is okay? Listen, I don't want you to lie. Let's do better. Bova mod im ha'ed. Walk into court with the one witness. Same scenario. Just walk in with him. Make it look like you're going to testify. V'lo toid. I don't even ask you to testify. Kadesh yira halo. I want just the borrower to see that I have got two witnesses. V'yivra he'll be afraid. V'yala data he'll consider. Shatem shnei edim that they're two witnesses. And therefore v'yodasa he'll admit on his own. And we're making him do the right thing. He's not allowed to give the false impression that he's a servant. And so although he is not transgressing, swearing falsely, he is not sworn. So why can't he do it? He can't do this. Why? That's what the Torah means. It says, "Stay." Last week's parsha: "Stay far away from a lie," because that's what it means to stay far away from a lie, not to give them the impression that you're going to testify. Zion. This will come to familiar territory in Baba Metzia, Eila Metzias. If a person rents false witnesses, he pays false witnesses to testify falsely against somebody else, to take money, let's say, from somebody they're not supposed to take, and he does it. Now these witnesses, this guy who does this, Potter midine Adam v'chayev v'dine shamayim. When we find this to be true, he's done this. He is free from a human court from having to pay, but he's obliged in a heavenly court. Okay, so let's say a guy has his friend Shimon, and he wants Shimon to have money, so he hires two false witnesses to say that Reuven owes Shimon money. And this guy's Levi who's doing this. So Levi isn't getting anything out of this. He's just helping Shimon out of the deal, whatever. So we say he causes some kind of financial loss, right? And the money now went to Shimon, and now Shimon spent the money and he's got no money. So now we'll go to Levi and say, you know, Levi, you should pay because of you. You made all this happen. Well, Bezin can't make him pay because why? He's only a grumma. He's only an indirect cause. However, in God's eyes, he has to pay what he caused a friend to lose, right? Because it's still not the right thing. And we've already said in these cases, the Bezin should do what they can to try to make the guy pay, although according to the letter of the law, he doesn't have to pay.
In Western court, he'd be guilty of conspiracy.
The who?
In Western courts, he'd be guilty of conspiracy.
Okay, that's true, but that's a godly, divine punishment, and not a human one. Mm. Now, on the other hand, if it's Reuven, it's Shimon himself who hired false witnesses, so he gets the money, then even be the Adam, he has to give it back, because that's the money he unlawfully has. That has to be returned. So the opposite now. What about the chen eid echad shekavash edus lehed? What about one witness who saw something who refuses to testify in a court of law, even though the one person won't be able to accomplish very much other than cause the fellow to make an oath? And if he refuses to, then patur b'yadam mechayev b'dei shamayim. Again, he's not obliged in the physical court, but in the heavenly court, he's guilty. Why? Because he would say, well, what does it matter? All I would do is make the guy swear, and he wouldn't get the money anyway. But the answer is, but if you are there, and the guy now has to swear, he may not wish to swear. We can't say that for sure, but he may be willing to admit and not swear, and that to that extent, you could have possibly caused the loss of money to the person who could have, if he wouldn't have sworn, and therefore your chayiv bidei shamayim.
And what happens if he's afraid to testify because everybody who's testified to this guy gets beaten up?
Well, that's different. That's an onus.
No, he doesn't want to testify.
Yeah. Well, it's an onus.
I have a similar kind of question. Yeah. He could be. It's hard to understand why the Rambam would put those two in the same halacha. One is,
why not?
Going after,
because their cases
witness to falsely testify.
Because they have to do with testimony. It's a case of chayv bidei shamayim patur
b'yadam. One is afraid to go into the court to be questioned.
He's not afraid. He just want to be. I want to get involved. I'm busy. I have a shir I have to go to. I don't want to miss my shir. I have a job I don't want to miss. Whatever. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to testify, right? So that's remember Warren Bamitzia that like six or seven cases that were patur b'dei yadam mechayev b'dei shamayim. So
this is also the principle that the shliach can't be
ein shlich l'dvar avera. That's why you can't say that the guy who hired them is guilty. The guys themselves who swore falsely are guilty. But if they don't have any money, we can't go to this guy. Okay, now that we've gone through 17 chapters, you knew it's going to happen sooner or later. We have to get to Adim Zomamim. We haven't got to Adim Zomamim yet, and now for the next number of chapters, we will learn the laws of Adim Zomamim. Then we're going to start on chapter 18, the rudimentary laws, just definitions, so to speak. Aleph. Mi shehayid b'sheker, someone who swore, testified falsely. V'noda be'adim shehayid b'sheker, and it'll be made known through other witnesses that he testified falsely. Zehu shenikra, this is what we call classically eid zomem. It's called an eid zomem from the word in the Tehillim, the word zomam, which means what he planned to do, what he perpetrated to do. So these are, I don't know what the English, how's the English translate it?
Conspiring witnesses.
But I guess that's what what does the word conspiracy really mean? Because you're planning to do something bad, right?
But in a group, like.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so that is called an eid zomim. And now what do we do with such a fellow? Umitzvah saseh laso. So the guy, the eid zomim, he has what? He has transgressed lo sana berecha eid shakar. He's transgressed being a false witness. I mean, that's basically what he is. He's a liar, right? But now, it's a different kind of a liar, as it were, and it's been proven. Now we have another mitzvah in terms of enforcing a punishment. It's a positive mitzvah for us to punish them in the way that they wanted to do to the person that they were lying about. That's what the pasuk says. You do to them as they conspired to do to the other person. So therefore, if they falsely testify that a person should get skila, then, and now that they're proven wrong, they get skila. And if they said the person aver that would give them burning, they are burnt. And that's the same for all four death penalties.
Maybe we'll get to it, but there are people who testify who absolutely believe what they're saying and they're 100% wrong.
Okay, we have to define what an eid zomim is. We have to prove that they're liars.
So
now, I don't think a guy could absolutely be sure what he's saying when he's in a different city.
No, okay.
And he couldn't testify, and that's going to be the only case of eid zomim. Okay.
They're not disputing the testimony.
We're going to see. It's not. We're going to explain. The Rambam's going to say it's disputing a testimony and disputing the witness.
Okay.
What we know that they lied. The only way you could know that they lied is to say you were not in the country.
Okay.
Anything else, we don't know if you lied. We can't say that you lied. It's very hard to prove lying unless they're not there.
Right.
All right, and the Rama is going to say the difference between Eidei HaChachosha, contradictory witnesses, versus Eidim Zomim, which you'll get to today or tomorrow. Let's continue. V'im Heidu B'malkus, what if they testify falsely to give the guy a punishment of lashes? Then Loka Kolechem and Kishar Mechem B'malkus, then they all get lashes, a full set of lashes that they could possibly take. V'om Din Kocho B'malkus, and we lash him as much as he could take. In other words, they said this guy ate treif, and we warned him. But that's a lie. Let's say three witnesses come to court and they say, we saw him eating treif, he's a liar. And now all three are zomified. So now they want to give the guy 39 lashes. So each one has to get 39 lashes, but the truth of the matter is, just like the guy himself they want to give it to, he wouldn't get 39 if he couldn't take 39. So everyone's measured to get the full amount that each one, as opposed to dividing it up in three. As you'll see in a minute, we do divide something up in three. Wow. What if they testify the guy should pay money, and it's a number of witnesses, and we find them false? Mishal Shalim, then we divide up. They divide it, so if it's $300 between three witnesses, they each pay $100. Everyone pays the portion for him, for that. Now, why is there a difference? Well, first of all, the group wanted to make the guy lose 300. So now the group has to lose 300. So each guy loses 100, and together they lose 300, that's fine. When they want to give the guy lashes, so what did each guy want to do? Each guy wanted to give the guy lashes. Now, lashes is what the total amount is. So, for example, when a person is getting 39 lashes, the 14th, is infinitely different in pain than the 13th. And as we go on, the pain is greater. You know, clearly the first 13, I have a certain degree of pain, the next 13 have another degree of pain, and the last 13 have the highest degree, because it's the same lash over and over, and the body's being weakened. So they want to give this guy, now if we would divide up the lashes, you see, then they're not really getting what they would have given that fellow. Right? Because it's not those 13, you cannot, money can be added up easily. Lashes cannot. 13 plus 13 plus 13 is still not 39 to 1. One person getting 39 is not equal to 13 guys, three guys getting 13. While on the other hand, three guys losing 100 is equal to one guy gaining 300. So that's why the money can be divided, but the lashes cannot.
And the person who gets the money, the person who is...
The person who they wanted to make him lose. So he gains 300. The guy's thrilled.
So if I steal from Sam, sorry. If I steal from Sam, I have to repay him. And do I have like a knas also?
Well, we're not talking about him zoom him now.
No, but I'm saying this. Is it a bonus? Like he like.
What are the witnesses testifying?
That I didn't steal. No,
that's not zomamim.
Oh,
you're going to be zomified that you want to have someone be punished for you. You can't be zomified because if you want, let's say we testify that he didn't borrow. Well, no, you are, because when you're saying he didn't steal, then you're stealing from the other guy. You're still stealing from somebody.
Okay.
If you're saying he didn't steal, then you're stealing from the guy who it was stolen from. So you have to pay him. Only if the guys, witnesses only have to say negative things. There's nothing, but you don't say, I'm going to testify he wasn't Mechal Shabbos. How can you testify he wasn't Mechal Shabbos? We don't need you to testify he's not Mechal Shabbos. Nobody testifies, so he doesn't get punished. You know, so that's, unless you're going to testify, two guys say he was Mechal Shabbos, say, well, he couldn't be Mechal Shabbos, he was with us. But then you're zomifying the other witnesses, so it gets a little tricky. Now the last line is a little interesting point. Vein lokim bimkom tashlumim. We don't lash in a place where there's monetary money. So let's say example. Let's say they lie that the guy borrowed $100 he didn't. So they want to make a guy lose $100. So clearly he's got to pay $100. But wait a minute. Has he not transgressed the law of losana berecha eid shaker? Now let's swear falsely. Right? And so that's what we're saying. Vein lokim bimkom tashlumim. We don't lash in the place where there's monetary payment. Because our rule is, Kolam Shalom and Aloka. If somebody pays, that is already significant enough. It's like Kamalib Bidravni, however you want to say it, and he doesn't get lashed. And that's what he's saying over here. Whenever there's already a monetary payment, then you're not going to lash him, even though you figure he transgressed the negative commandment of lying. He does not get that. Beis. Now let's begin some definitions. When do we say the laws of Edom Zomim? It looks long, but we can do it. It's very little commentary. Be'edim shehuzamu. When we have witnesses that are zomified, that's when we say what we just said. But two groups that are conflicting with each other, contradicting each other, there really is no verifiable testimony, then nobody gets punished. We don't know who the liars are. Now we say there's clearly an idea called hazoma, and there's an idea called hachachosha. So now, so what's the difference between these two? And that comes to the heart of the question you were asking before. Hakakasha, when we're talking about Hakakasha, that's Be'edus Atzva, that's the testimony is being contested. Zosomer, for example, this one says, Hayadevrezet, this was the way the story was, like this and this. Zosomer, Lohayadevrezet, it wasn't like this. Oh, Yavo, Michlal Dversa, or from their words, it'll be clarified that they mean to say it didn't happen. But they're arguing the testimonies. I'm saying what you're saying is wrong. Hazama is Beinim Asfa. We're testing against the witnesses. Ve'elu, okay, and that's the difference. Ve'elu ha'edim she'zimam einam yodim imniya hadavar lo. And therefore the witnesses who are been zomified, the earlier ones, they don't really know what happened or didn't happen. So I'm not arguing on what you're saying. I'm arguing that you're not a witness. Kate said, let's have an example. Eidim Shemayim Ro, first set of witnesses say the following. Reinu Seshorek Zanefesh, Olav Amon, Leploni, Beyon Ploni, Begon Ploni. They say, we saw this guy kill a certain fellow, or this guy borrow money from so-and-so, and a certain day, in a certain place. That's witnesses number one. V'racha She'idu V'nivtigu, and once they testified, they were checked, and we find, it appears that they're valid witnesses. Bosh Samachem, another two witnesses come along and say, V'yom Zeh U'makam Zeh Hayinu Mochem, we were with you on this day, and with those guys also the whole day. The guy who you said borrowed, the guy who you said killed, and they didn't kill. So what are they, lo zeharag, I said this guy didn't kill this guy, for those say, this guy didn't borrow this guy. That's contradiction. In other words, they're not saying you couldn't, you're a liar, you're a witness that you couldn't be a witness, we're disagreeing on your testimony. Because they're saying, listen, you said you were with these guys and you saw him kill him. Well, we're also with these guys and we say we didn't see him kill him. So they're arguing on testimony, but I'm not saying that the witness is a liar. I'm just saying you have the facts wrong. Similarly, if they say to them, how can you testify this way? Or say, how can you say this? These guys were with us somewhere else. Same thing. It's still only conflicting testimonies. It's like you said, this guy didn't kill him. Didn't borrow from him. With us. Didn't happen. They're saying that the people you're testifying about were with us. So we're not contesting the witnesses. We're contesting what the witnesses say. And the truth is, why should we leave one over the other? One group says, listen, these two guys were in Chicago, we saw the loan. The other guy says, no, they're with us in Detroit. So how could they have seen the loan that you said happened in Chicago the same day? But the second witnesses are not testifying that the first witnesses couldn't have testified because they weren't there. Anything like that. But now we come to Hazama. But they said, we don't know if this guy killed this guy in Shalim like you said or not. We don't know. You said this guy killed the guy in Yerushalayim on January 27th. All we can say is the following. Why don't we eat him? All I can say is, but you, two guys, on the 27th, were with us in Babel. So there's no way you could have testified this guy killed this guy in Yerushalayim on the 27th. Because you were with us. Now we're saying you aren't witnesses. That's Zomamim. V'naragim, they get killed, or mishalim or pay. Hoyel va'edim shezimu lo ishkiuchal atzma shel edus klal, because the witnesses are not or so I'm finding they're not really supervising and discussing the testimony in MS and Shekhar. They're not discussing if it's true or not. They're only testifying on what? On the witnesses themselves. So that's what's Hachachosha and Hazoma. Hachachosha is saying, there's no way you could have said this because we see the facts differently. In whatever way. But Hazoma is, there's no way you could have testified because you weren't there. And you could not have testified. That's the difference. One is testifying on them, the other one is on their information.
But do we have a concept of witnesses who are there and completely lie, perjure themselves?
Well, how can we prove that? You can never prove that. How can you? If I have 1,000 witnesses that say he didn't do it, and these two guys said he did, then it's just conflicting testimony. How can you ever know if a guy's lying?
We do have perjury in a...
Okay, how do we prove it? How do you prove a perjury case? I don't know. What's the methodology to prove a perjury case? The way they have it is not, it's against Torah. All we're going to say is other guys say he lied. I guess you have a lot of people say he lied.
They could also admit.
Well, then he's admitted perjury. Mm-hmm. And what do we say over here by admitting? It'll be motive but knas potter. It's a knas. All this is a knas. But when do you have a guy convicted of perjury where he doesn't admit? How would it work in Canada? If what? Many more people say he's a liar. So just believing more people than one guy? You know, the guy...
Well, there's different
evidence. Let's say these guys in steroid scandals, right? All these players who said, I didn't take steroids. So you know what happens? They get his coaches and they say, he did take.
No, there could be...
So now what is this? One guy's word, two guys' word against one. Well, the coach said he took.
No, there would be other evidence that's admissible in our courts.
Yeah, right? Like what?
A camera. That clearly shows that that's not what, you know...
Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
We in Judaism, there really is no way. God knows if a person does perjury, and God will take care of them. That's the beauty of our system. We don't need other people to catch them. Okay,